From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last week when the co-owners of the Cinema Theater in Rochester announced that they would be closing their doors, at least for now. The cinema, like many independent theaters and chains across the country, have faced pandemic-related restrictions that have made it difficult to generate income. Changes in the film industry have compounded the impact. The release of blockbusters were delayed and some films debuted via streaming services rather than in theaters. Cineworld CEO Mookie Greidinger told CNBC in October that his company made the decision to close more than 500 Regal cinema theaters because not enough films were being released to attract audiences. He said, quote, "We are now like a kind of a grocery shop that have no food to sell," end quote. The move came less than 2 months after the company had started to reopen its U.S. locations. In a recent piece for the Atlantic Monthly, Sonny Bunch recently asked the question, is it safe to go back to the movie theater? He argues that despite being indoors, behavior at a movie theater, sitting with a mask without speaking, is relatively benign. And of course, more of us are getting vaccinated every day. This hour, we discuss the state of what these small businesses can expect in the short and long term when it comes to their future. What about community icons, independent theaters? What about chains? What about indoor entertainment and our own behavior? And I'll ask listeners, particularly as more of us get vaccinated, are you at a place where you're ready to go see a movie again? Are you going out to eat again? Are you going to wait until you're vaccinated? Are you more comfortable with more people in the community getting vaccinated? What are some of the standards you have for this? One of the co-owners of the Cinema Theater has been Audrey Kramer, who is on the line with us now. Audrey, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Derek Reese, general manager and film programmer for the Little Theater. Derek, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Evan.
Jeff Goldman is a film buyer and owner of Mini Theaters Booking. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Evan. Nice to be back.
Adam Lubito, film critic for City News. Adam, welcome back to the program to you.
Hi, Evan. Pleasure to be here.
Audrey has been one of my favorite follows on social media, not just for films, but for cat life. And Audrey's got a big heart, and the people at the cinema have big hearts. And, you know, they've done things a little differently there. If you love having little animals curled up in your lap watching films, it's just been a different experience there. But take me through what the last 12 months have been like, Audrey.
Well, you know, we had so many plans in the beginning of the year of things to do. We were going to incorporate more live performances.
You're talking about a year ago?
Yep. You know, everything was still okay. We had heard about COVID coming, and I guess we just never thought it would take a hold like it did. But, yeah, our plans totally got changed, and when we first had a shutdown in March of 2020, we just didn't know, like, how long this was going to go. I mean, I kind of thought, like, maybe a month, maybe two. But when it dragged on, you know, then it started to make us nervous.
And when do you start to really feel like the economic impact is not something that is just a two-month thing, a three-month thing, that you can absorb it? When do you start really thinking about making hard decisions?
Probably the end of summer, we were thinking. We had done the virtual screenings, and it really, we didn't get a lot of people that watched them. In fact, sometimes I was the only one that watched them, and I still had to pay to see them. So that was kind of, and we tried the popcorn, and again, we didn't get a lot of people. So we just weren't, you know, making the money, or so we just kind of thought, well, you know, our lease is coming up in January. What can we do? We don't know how long this pandemic is going to last and what else we can do. So,
do you feel that this is a permanent decision, Audrey?
Yes, it's a permanent decision for my husband and myself.
Right. I mean, is there any sense, though, that someone in this community can fill that void?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it can be filled. I just think that you have to come up with maybe a niche market, some more gimmicks, just not film anymore because of everything is going to streaming, and it's difficult. But, yeah, I think it definitely can be filled.
Well, so I want to talk about a couple of things with Audrey, and then we're going to turn to our other guests, and I hope have a really robust conversation this hour about, you know, sort of where this community views iconic locations like this and what comes next here. So on the space itself, you think that its days as a movie theater really are done, Audrey?
I think it can be a combination movie theater and live entertainment venue, maybe more of a community venue for meetings and such. I mean, we did try to do that, and we did get a little success with that, but I think it's going to have to be a combination of things, live entertainment and movies.
Okay, and, you know, that space itself right now, you know, who owns it, and what's the next step for you guys?
John Trickey owns it, mm-hmm. And I think he's looking at offers about possible leasing or selling the building.
What in your mind is sort of a best case scenario for that space?
I think if someone bought it outright, and then they could make it their own, and hopefully it would still be, you know, a movie theater. I really want movies to be shown there. I mean, I live in the neighborhood, and I would be a regular customer. I was before we took over. So that's my hope, is that it still stays a theater, in, at least in some capacity.
You are very matter-of-fact about this, but give me a sense for what this has been like emotionally for you.
A roller coaster. I mean, you know, when we first closed, and then, you know, I was a wreck, and then, you know, I got hope when things started opening up in the spring for other businesses. But it's a roller coaster. I mean, we put our heart and soul into that business. We did, I thought, a lot for the community. We did political events. We got clothes for the homeless. We had adoption events for different animal rescues. We invested a lot. This wasn't like a part-time, hey, let's just dabble our toes in this. This was all in, and it's been heartbreaking. In fact, just hearing you discuss the cinema closing, you know, brought tears to my eyes again.
Mm. Well, you know, Audrey, for people, and I'm sure people have made this argument to you, for people who have said, look, every day we get more vaccines in this community. The vulnerable population is getting vaccinated. We have really good news when it comes to a lack of outbreak and spread in movie theaters worldwide. I mean, there have been essentially zero outbreaks traced to movie theaters. I'm not saying that you can't get infected in a movie theater. I mean, you can get infected anywhere, especially in indoor spaces. But in terms of, you know, just looking at entertainment and tracked spread, movie theaters are just not even on the list. There hasn't really been a major issue. So for people who've made this argument to you, the warm weather is coming, things are going to turn, hang in there. What have you said?
I mean, you know, we took efforts to make things safer, plexiglass. We put the markers on the floor to keep people, you know, spaced apart. We had automatic hand sanitizer stations. And when we did open for the couple weeks, we just didn't see anybody come in. I think the streaming platforms, that, you know, everything's going streaming, is a problem. It's a problem getting the younger generations into theaters. I mean, our clientele was generally older, and that's why we shut down, because we were worried about our clientele and our customers taking a chance of getting COVID in the theater. I mean, because we could be open, but, I mean, we weren't seeing the people in October, and it just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's so many things. It's declining ticket sales. That was a big factor as well.
Okay. So in other words, it sounds like, you know, as hard as this has been, you're pretty at peace that this is the right decision for you.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So lastly, and then I'll let you go here, because I really appreciate your time, and I know the community cares about the cinema. When we look at how government has responded to this, we have explored on this program with federal leaders, members of Congress, state leaders, whether there is a responsibility of government, and usually at the federal level in a crisis like this, to say, look, this is unprecedented. And what's happening at the cinema theater, what's happening at the Little, what's happening in restaurants, what's happening in bars, you know, pick a venue where there is primarily indoor clientele. And government and public health is saying, we need you to be closed or mostly closed to protect people. Is there a responsibility of government to then step in and say, okay, do this for us, do this for your community, and we will backstop you. We will be there, call it a bailout, call it whatever you want. It just never really happened. There's been some PPP and some opportunities here and there, but there's not been industry targeted bailouts. I mean, I suppose if you were a big bank, Audrey, maybe they would have bailed you out. But it turns out that there has not been targeted bailouts. What would you say to the community in terms of how difficult this has been for businesses like yours and seeing what government has or has not done?
Well, I mean, it is tough. I mean, you know, it just was me and my husband running this business, and we did get a little bit of help through some grants. We didn't want to get loans because we didn't even know if we could pay them back, and we didn't want to be in debt, you know, more money. So, I mean, yeah, the government, if they could have helped and stepped in, you know, maybe things would have been different.
Are you concerned that what's happening with the cinema is not going to be a one-off, that we will see other small businesses in sort of similar industry facing the same situation in the coming weeks?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I have some friends that had to close their businesses. They had a gym, and they had to close down recently. So I definitely think there will be more, unfortunately.
Well, much love to you and the whole family at the cinema, Audrey, not just because I'm a cat person, but because I appreciate, you know, sort of different community icons and the spirit that you and the team have put into it. Good luck to you. I know this has been hard, but thanks for sharing the story with us.
Yeah, thank you. And just to let you know that the Theater Cats are now retired, and they're living the good life with us now.
I knew you would make sure of that. Thank you, Audrey.
All right. You're welcome.
Audrey Kramer has been the co-owner of the Cinema Theater, which, as you heard her mention, you know, the building's owner is still hopeful that we're going to see this continue to be a movie theater, even if he's got to run it. But there's a lot that has to happen to make sure that continues. And Derek Reese, general manager and field programmer for the Little Theater, in some sense, you know, I'm talking to the enemy. I'm joking. I mean, the cinema and the Little are different things. But, of course, WXXI has a relationship with the Little. And I appreciate all of these independent theaters, the work that you all put in. When that news hit last week, what comes to mind first for you, Derek?
Oh, it's the sadness, really. I mean, you never like to see any business close, but a business that does almost exactly the same thing you do, it just was heartbreaking to hear that. I often wondered how it was doing anyways, because of just the small footprint it has, but it has such loyal customers that always answered that question. But then to hear it, you know, because of COVID, it's very, very sad.
So, you know, almost right away, we started hearing from people on social media and other platforms saying, oh, my gosh, please, not the Little next, not the Little next. You want to you want to offer some words for the community thinking about you in light of the news at the cinema?
Well, we're very hopeful that we will be reopening. Not just hopeful, but we plan on reopening soon. That date hasn't been established yet, but we're here to stay with generous support of the community and our members. We're here to stay because of them. One thing I think is a danger is that you always hear people saying, we'll come back. We can't wait to come back. But we're such creatures of habit, though. So if you say it's mathematics. Say there's 80 people every screening. Well, if creatures of habit say only half of those come back, that's awesome, but now you're only half again. Now you keep going down by percentages. And it's just, you know, people, a coffee shop that I go to reopened and for indoor seating recently. And I started going there about a month ago, and I'm the only one sitting there. And I'm like, how are they doing it? I'm the only one here. Every morning, some people come and go and get coffee, but no one's sitting there and buying other things, and the foot traffic is diminished, even though they're allowed to sit there. So it's just very scary that a lot of people are just becoming, again, habitual, sitting at home, doing other things, finding other entertainment, other ways to find it. So it's very, very scary.
This is something we talked about on this program a couple of months ago when Derek and the crew was back with us. And we're going to explore a little bit more of that as we go on here, whether our habits in this pandemic will become a little bit calcified or almost permanent for some of us. Because to Derek's point, if you're a restaurant, if you're a bar, if you're a movie theater, it doesn't take, you know, 100% of your clientele not to come back. I mean, it can be a quarter. And for some, that's the margin that says they can't continue. Derek, do you think the general public has their heads fully around just how close some small businesses are in these, you know, indoor venues, whether it's restaurants, bars, theaters. Do you think the general public has our heads around how close these some of these businesses are to being on the edge of not being able to continue?
I don't think as a general populace, no, they don't. Sure, there's always more people who are aware of other things than other times. But as a general statement, I don't think they realize that there's so many other businesses, smaller than us even, that are in danger or will be closing. And just because, again, they say they're going to come back or, you know, the old, I used to buy something there. Well, if you only went there once a month and now you're not going, multiply that times 10, 100 more people saying the same thing. I think it's not general knowledge that there's so much that's in danger here.
When is the reopening plan scheduled for?
Well, we're hopeful for sometime in late April. We're hoping. We're already had many times been set up to open in within a week, back in the summer, then the fall, the late fall. So the facility is ready with a few more, obviously, changes to make, small things, but we're on the cusp of it. And we just keep hope the numbers and percentages keep going down and the positive cases and the vaccinations happen. We're anxiously, you know, like we're anxious about it, not in the sense of danger, just the sense like some people will come back, who will come back. There's a lot of fans that love the Little, and we hope you're here.
2 months away, possibly.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly 2 months away. And I can see, you know, Adam, I can see people, you know, being on the fence about whether they want to go out to bars or restaurants or movie theaters for a while. But I certainly can understand the people who get the vaccine, who either have it now or will have it in coming weeks. I'm not on the list yet. I mean, I don't know if it will happen for me until maybe sometime in the spring. It's not clear for me when. But I had no problem with people saying, hey, I have been vaccinated. I talked to my mom. I said, if you want to go out to a movie, go out to a movie. You're vaccinated. Do you think, Adam, that will be sort of the mentality among sort of the film-loving crowd that you know?
I definitely think so, especially among, you know, film lovers. I know I've been eager to get back to the movies, and I don't think that desire has really gone away. I think even if you look at, well, you know, indoor theaters have been closed, drive-ins were open over the summer, and they were doing, you know, big business because people still wanted to have that experience. And then you look at things like, you know, the Little has been doing private rentals, and the way those have been selling out, I think that desire is still there. And so, yeah, once people are, you know, vaccinated and that, you know, if they have doubts, hopefully those are lessened that much more, and they'll, you know, immediately be like, yeah, let's go see a movie.
Yeah, and before I follow up on that point, let me also make an important distinction here. And I know that this is sensitive for some people. You do not have to be vaccinated to go out. And I know that
yeah.
I mean, I have been to one restaurant in the last year. I miss restaurants a lot. And I'm really looking forward to being back. I mean, I've been doing takeout and things like that. But I'm really looking forward to being among people. And I know that's coming. That's just been my preference. Other people have been going out more. And I totally understand. I mean, we have not had the federal backstop to keep the lifeblood of communities and small businesses alive without some people deciding to take it upon themselves to keep going out, hopefully safely. I'm a double masker. But regardless, I'm not saying that you have to be vaccinated before you go back to the Little or before you go out to eat or before you go to a coffee shop. I'm just saying that I think psychologically, some people are going to be getting there in the coming weeks. Like, hey, you know, I feel bad for my friends. They don't have their vaccine, but I do. I'm going to do this. And I will understand that mentality, especially when I see businesses in need. So that distinction having been made, Adam, how concerned are you about Derek's point that there could be a permanence to the habits that some people have formed, particularly when it comes to entertainment?
I'm sure some people have, you know, as they've spent the past year, you know, watching things strictly on streaming services and at home, I'm sure some people have decided that that's just the way they're going to do things. Like I said, watching how people have reacted when they do have the opportunity to see a movie out of their home in some capacity, whether that's a private screening or a drive-ins, and people still take advantage. So I'm hopeful that there will be enough people to still support theaters, and it will still, you know, have a thriving movie-going culture. We'll be able to continue on.
I'll grab Kevin and Webster coming up here. And listeners, if you want to call the program as we talk about your habits, do you think the habit changes that you formed in the last year out of necessity will become permanent or semi-permanent? In other words, going out to eat less, doing maybe more takeout, maybe not going out much at all, maybe seeing, you know, movies in theaters rarely. I'm curious to know if some of those habits, if you think they'll become permanent, or if you think the opposite, that people are going to, you know, sort of really kind of cut through the chains a bit and kind of go nuts. 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994, or email us, connections@WXXI.org. Jeff Goldman, as a film buyer, we know where you were a couple of months ago on this issue. Now that we are a couple of months past Christmas and HBO Max's big changes, how concerned are you for the industry, or have your feelings changed at all, Jeff?
I'm still optimistic. I'm very an optimistic person that eventually all this is going to end and we're going to end up like China, that they had their highest grossing film opening ever last weekend at $395 million. And before that was Avengers, that was $357 million. So I think as a whole industry, it is definitely going to be better and we're going to be back to normal. But for the segment of the little theater, the older audience, he's 100% right. There's going to be 25% who are just going to enjoy the way they like it right now and not want to come back out. I think the younger people are going to be the ones that really come out in droves. And kids, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Okay. I think 40s is young, by the way. I love that. Jeff, is there any this? I'm trying to find a way to ask this question properly. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any societal responsibility among people who get vaccinated to be out and populating the economy more?
But there's always social responsibility for us to keep the entertainment in our small towns alive, each one of us. A lot of my owners have received, coming to the theater in Gloucester, Massachusetts, I know, that he was telling me that someone gave him a $100 bill and told him to keep the change. Happened to be a wealthy man who lives in town. And so, you know, these are the things that a lot of people are trying to do themselves that I find. And it's really all driven, like Regal said, Cineworld, it's all about product, and we're grocery stores. And unless we have really good product, nobody cares about us.
Let me bring in Brett Bassard, who is executive director of Cinemopolis, which, Brett, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Bassard, but I've been called worse.
Okay. I was actually talking about Cinemopolis, but I'll go with your last name, too.
Now, Cinemopolis, you got 100%. Usually, yeah, that one's easy.
tell us about what Cinemopolis is, Brett.
Well, we're a five-screen independent art house theater, not unlike The Little. We're located in Ithaca, New York. We are also a nonprofit, so we do depend on the support of membership and donations from community members and granting organizations like the New York State Council on the Arts. We serve a population that is not dissimilar, as folks have mentioned already in the conversation. You know, it is definitely skews a little older. We have the benefit of being closely affiliated with the film department at Ithaca College, so we do have a fair amount of young audience members from our two campuses here in town at Cornell and Ithaca College. So that I think is giving me a little bit of hope that we will have some room to grow that audience a bit as we look to the future.
So Brett, with Cinemopolis in Ithaca, listeners who are joining us on Finger Lakes Public Radio and WEOS may be particularly familiar with that. And, you know, you heard, Brett, that the cinema theater in Rochester closing, the little theater aiming for maybe a late April relaunch. And obviously there's a lot that could change, but that is the current hope. What are you guys doing in Cinemopolis in Ithaca?
Well, you know, I've actually been talking to Derek a bit and seeing about sort of trying to learn from some of their learn some lessons from the efforts they've made so far. And we are looking to do some private rentals, much the way that the little is, starting in the next couple of weeks here. And I would think that, right, depending on the availability of product, I mean, I think as Jess said, that's a big issue right now, even for art house cinemas, you know, who aren't depending necessarily on tent poles. To open for public screenings really depends on there to be enough new content to make it worth our while. So for short term, we're doing private rentals starting in just a couple of weeks. And then, yeah, if the films are there, I would think late April or early May for public screenings probably seems like a possibility for us.
Well, after our only break, I want to rip through some of your phone calls and feedback. So if you're on the line, Kevin, Ellen, Carrie, we'll come to you in just a moment here. And our guests, I think, will have a lot to say about where theaters go next, small independent businesses, indoor entertainment. I think all related as we sit here in kind of the doldrums of winter, but looking ahead to what should be a very different spring and summer, particularly with more vaccines arriving every day. Brett Buzzard is executive director of Cinemopolis in Ithaca. Derek Reese, general manager and film programmer for the Little Theater. Jeff Goldman, film buyer and owner for Many Theaters Booking. Adam Lubito, film critic for City News. And your phone calls next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, the co-leaders of the Finger Lakes Vaccine Task Force join us, answering your questions via phone and email about how to get vaccinated. Are you frustrated trying to get appointments for yourself or loved ones, maybe aging parents, maybe someone who doesn't have internet access? It has been a tough process, and we're going to talk about what comes next and whether you're doing the right things to get vaccinated. It's next hour. This is Connections.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Welcome back. Let me get Kevin and Webster first on the phone. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Evan. It's great to talk to you. I'm a fan of your channel.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Great. Awesome. So the question is, can you clarify the question so I don't go off on a tangent? The question is, go ahead.
Oh, well, we're happy to take your thoughts on just, you know, whether people are going to be getting out and about and maybe getting back to regular habits, or if many of us are going to sort of become permanent in our changes.
Sure. I know that there are some people who do believe that this is a permanent, they are prepared to permanently mask, double mask, triple mask, do whatever the state tells them to. My concern is that there is some, I'll keep this short within about 60 or 90 seconds. My concern is that there seems to be some ambiguity coming from the county about who is at risk and what we must do to protect everybody from this virus. From day one, the people of Monroe County have been saying, this Monroe County dashboard, the COVID daily updates, are missing the only piece of information that we really need, the crucial piece of information, which is the ages of those people who are reported as COVID deaths in Monroe County. And when you see the comprehensive data released every few months, you see that these people who are dying of coronavirus are people around the age of 85, almost exclusively. And now we understand that Cuomo was padding those numbers by as much as 50%. So this notion that society needs to lock down due to some compassion, this compassionate response, you can be too compassionate. It just doesn't. We need to shut down our businesses for a day, and we need to go and protest the state. And remember that these state representatives do not work for special interests. They are meant to work for us. And sending us this propaganda from the COVID daily updates from Monroe County that doesn't include the ages of people who die, it's very sinister. It's very ambiguous.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate that. And thank you, by the way, for the kind words for the programming of WXXI and for what we do. And thank you for the phone call. Let me address a couple of those points here. I don't think Monroe County has had much trouble with transparency. I mean, I take the point that it would be helpful if we saw daily deaths that are released include ages. But generally speaking, they've been pretty good about, kind of rolling updates on what those numbers look like. I also take the point that the people who are passing away of COVID at this point tend to be significantly older than the average in the population, not exclusively. And as we know, COVID can cause damage in ways that go beyond just looking at did the person live or did the person die. I mean, there's some serious long-term effects. Long COVID is definitely a thing. The impact on the lungs and breathing, depending on how severe a case, can be a real problem. So, I mean, I don't want to be dismissive of people who get COVID and convalesce. I take your point, Kevin, that you're not satisfied with how the state has handled some of its closed down and shut down information. And we did see New York State pull back from the orange zone designations and things like that recently. I mean, Derek Reese, what did you make of the orange zone business? Did that seem fair to you?
Well, initially I thought it was when downtown became the red zone, I thought that was unfair because we didn't seem to have a lot of foot traffic down here anyway, so I thought we could have been opened. So pulling back to the orange, I think it should have been orange zone further around. The boundary line seemed very strange to me.
Kind of arbitrary, I think.
Yeah.
Brett Bozard in Ithaca, how did you view color designations of what New York State was trying to do?
Well, you know, I can't say from firsthand experience just because we've been very fortunate that our testing positivity rate here in Tompkins mm-hmm. County has been very low. So we were among some of the, you know, when the governor's guidelines for movie theaters shifted to include a county by county assessment, we were amongst the first that were in that, you know, group that was able to open the doors. So, yeah, firsthand here, I can't really say for sure. We were very fortunate. As I said, we had a lot of testing and good preventive measures, I would say, by people in our community so that the transmission rate here has been really low.
Well, let me get back to phone calls. This is Ellen in Irondequoit. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to make a couple of comments. First of all, when I heard about the closing of the cinema, I was very sad. I grew up in that area in the 50s, and I would go to the cinema often for the matinees. And then as an adult, my husband and I would enjoy the cinema so much. We would go often on Friday nights for the double feature. The owners were always so wonderful to us. They knew my husband by sight, knew what kind of popcorn he wanted, and you know, had a lot of personal experience with the theater. I loved that. If they reopened, I definitely would be going out again to go after I get my vaccine. Mm-hmm. Also, the Little Theater, we were also patrons of the Little, and we would go to not only the films, but also to the cafe. And we did that frequently. We knew quite a few of the musicians who played there. And so that was another thing we just loved. And, you know, it's been very difficult not going back out to these venues. We've been very careful, so we haven't, you know, gone out to the movie theaters or live music or anything like that, but we really miss it. And after this is over, once we're vaccinated, we will definitely be going back to these theaters.
You're going out again. You're going out again.
Yes, we are. Yes, absolutely.
Well, Ellen, thank you for the phone call, and I know that our guests appreciate your support. Good luck to you in terms of the vaccination process. We're talking vaccines next hour, by the way. If listeners have questions about how they're doing in terms of trying to find one, we'll try to answer more questions on that. Now, a couple of points that Ellen is raising here. Everybody should know that, I mean, no offense to anybody else, but the best date night in Rochester is music in the Little Cafe, dinner at the Little Cafe, and a movie. I mean, that is the best. That's just science, isn't it, Derek? I think that's right.
It's pure science, actually.
I mean, I don't know, Adam. Is there anything better than that? Come on, man.
I mean, I'm biased, but that sounds perfect to me. That is absolutely my perfect date night.
You might bump into luminaries like Jeff Spivak and Scott Regan if you do that.
That's true.
You know, it sort of feels like it's part of this frozen in time little slice of life, but it's coming. It's coming back here. When it comes to the full picture, now, Derek, when you talk about 2 months away from maybe reopening at the Little, what is the timeline or the hope for music and packing that cafe and serving food? I mean, realistically, are we a couple months away from that? Longer for that?
Definitely longer for that. Our initial plan is to open like a trickle, you know, start with a few, like 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. The cafe will be opened, but limited seating, just like the theater will be. And then we see how that goes for a few weeks, maybe the rest of April, a little bit of May, and then we offer another day of the week. And then hopefully by midsummer, day into summer, we're back to 5, 6, 7 days a week. One thing just to throw out there, and again, I am an optimist. I don't want to perceive myself as being someone who doesn't feel very positively for the future. But one thing I want to make clear, to the mass people, mass population listening, until social distancing and seating capacity goes away, we will not be making any money. The cafe will sit 22 people instead of 70 people.
So the goal will be to break even for a little while?
We can have that'd be great. We could break even for a little while.
Wow.
And then, it's just the reality. Until the government and everything, the truly all get vaccinated and there's hardly any kind of positive cases, until we're back to regular capacities for these venues, not just a little, but restaurants, other entertainment venues, there's no money to be made. We'll just be breaking even if we're lucky.
So, Derek, on that point, Carrie and Victor had called in to say the little cafe is great. Her family goes to the little cafe and sees movies all the time. They can't go under. They can't. Can they do a GoFundMe? She thinks that more people will go out when all of this sort of winds down to support the little, but her hope is that you can get to the other side, and she's asking about a GoFundMe.
We haven't actually thought of that particular way of raising money. We have membership. We have grants. We have other things in place. If it does come to that, then sure, we would seek out that possible opportunity. For now, though, we are staying the course, and hopefully we'll be staying. When we do reopen, just breaking even would be nice.
Derek, effectively, membership is a GoFundMe. It's a community fund me, right?
Absolutely. Without membership to the little, I probably wouldn't be having this conversation with you right now.
Okay. Now, so Jeff Goldman, when you hear Ellen and Irondequoit say she's ready to get back out, she wants to support these institutions like the little and get out and populate the economy. Once she's vaccinated, she is more than ready. She's not going to change her habits permanently. But at the same time, you've got, Jeff, you're saying that you think that we could see a quarter maybe of business of the little or coffee shops or whatever gone or wound down a little bit. What makes you an optimist? Because you keep calling yourself an optimist, Jeff, but then you're giving me two pictures.
They're coming back to the theaters. But like anything, when you have a pandemic, things happen to cull the herd. And I think that's what's happening, that theaters that were on the edge before the pandemic are now going to close for good. I think that the theaters that were healthy before the pandemic will come back and will even roar come September, August, November, whenever it's, possible with the herd immunity, I guess. And I think when that happens, I think we get back to a normal-ish type life. And I think that means that what's ever left should do very well, because there'll be a little less of them, I think.
Okay. Haven in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Haven.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I wanted to say that I do think that some of the behaviors will have calcified when things do start to open back up. I foresee going out a lot less, partially because of a silver lining of all this is I've learned to cook a bit better. We moved to Rochester about 7 or 8 months before COVID started, so we didn't really have a good set of our go-to places. And also we moved here with a small child. And over the last, year of COVID, our stay-home dinners have gotten better. And I think it will take us a while to start going out again. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it. We used to eat out all the time, even when he was younger. Take him out in his car seat, But it does seem to be something that we'll hold on to. And I think it's been also actually kind of good for our health, eating home-cooked meals and whole foods and that kind of stuff. And the other piece is, if anyone can give a good recommendation for when things do open up. We haven't really learned Rochester yet.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you called and you shared some of these thoughts, Haven, because I take the point, and I think that's what Jeff Goldman's been saying. There will be some probable drop-off when it comes to the overall number. So if 100% of customers is your normal pre-pandemic? What's the percentage that are back populating your business with some routine post? And I say post-pandemic, there's not a day this ends. I mean, we're probably going to be living with COVID forever, the same way we were dealing with the influenza. But I think people know what I mean. So, I take the point, Haven. I think some people are really just kind of getting used to this routine for various reasons. The one thing that, let me just follow up with Jeff Goldman is, so Jeff, if let's say with the little theater, 75% of its customer base is back. So for me, as someone who wants to see my colleagues and friends at The Little succeed, I get worried about that. I mean, 25% drop for anybody is trouble. The question becomes, for the people who are going out again, do they sort of make up for that dip by going out more, by saying, I can't wait to go out to eat. I can't wait to go to an amusement park. I can't wait to go to the movies. I can't wait to go to a coffee bar. And they do it more and balance it out a little. I mean, all of that is conjecture, but is that possible in your eyes?
Well, I like your math. I think you're right. I think 75% that come back equal 100% of the previous revenue before, because the 75% that come back go a little bit more often. Instead of once a month, they go now once every 3 weeks to see a movie. I think there's going to be a pent-up demand. I think that I'm tired of being home. I can't wait to go out and go to a restaurant and to do all these things that I used to do a year ago. And the longer I'm here, the more I'm going to do it till I'm sick of it.
On the subject of just movies, a listener emailed asking, were movies even being made in 2020, and are there movies to release? I'm going to ask Adam and Jeff about that. I mean, Adam, I streamed a movie this weekend, and I was curious because at the end of it, there was like a little note that said this movie was made in Australia using all safety precautions. So clearly was made during the pandemic, and they wanted to put a note in there. But I don't know if... you know, what your expectation is just sort of as a film critic for City News and as a film buff, are we going to see a dip in total inventory for a while, Adam? I mean, what do you know about that?
I don't think there's going to be a dip. I know production did shut down for a while and stayed kind of slow, but stuff, people found ways. I know independent films found ways to make, you know, smaller productions, make sure people were taking safety precautions. And I know the bigger, you know, studio output obviously had money to make sure every possible precaution was taken. I know those, it took a little while, but some of those started to go back in production. And, you know, even then, I think there were some positive tests. I know, you know, most, I think, newsworthy was when the new Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, he himself ended up testing positive, and that shut things down for a while. But I know there are things still in production. And I know, you know, based on all of the films from last year that were delayed and pushed back, they're going to still be trying to find ways to fit that in the schedule. So I still think there's going to be plenty of films out there to show.
Can I tell you what I saw this weekend, Adam? Can I tell you?
Sure. Yes.
I watched Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. And it was so good. It was so good.
My partner and I, the day it came out, we, on a whim, I mentioned, hey, I heard something about this, and we rented that as well. And, yeah, it was fantastic. It was so much fun. It was kind of exactly what I was in the mood for.
Oh, my gosh. If you just want something that is so irreverent and it doesn't take itself seriously at all and just goes for it, and if you want to see Jamie Dornan actually sing the most ridiculous song in any movie ever made, thank you, Adam, for validating me a little bit on that, because I thought you were going to tell me that I've got no taste and that I should pass in my credentials as a movie buff. But I needed that, man. I've been watching I've been watching these heavy docs. I watched the Woody doc last night. I needed that, and it was exactly what I need. But I tell you what, I would have loved seeing it on a big screen. Jeff Goldman, what's your answer to the emailer who was asking about whether we're seeing a slowdown in production?
There's such a glut of product that didn't come out this past year that it will cover the lack of production, I think. They didn't release a lot of movies this year at all, when normally they would have released 100 smaller movies that The Little would have played. Those movies are still good, and they're in the can, as they say, and they're ready to go whenever the marketing dollars are there for them.
That's interesting. So you had this pile of movies ready to go, and everything changed. So it's not just about what got made in 2020; it's what didn't get released on time.
Correct.
So there shouldn't be a slowdown now. Okay. Anything else, Jeff, that you're sort of looking forward to in terms of films? I mean, I know you're a film buyer, and you know you work with institutions like The Little, but what is sort of on the horizon that you think people should be looking for in the movie industry?
You know, it changes every day. I mean, right now, the films that are available are films that are PVOD and SVOD, which is, you know, pay VOD and free VOD, you know, like Hulu and Netflix. And, you know, they're just not, they're not for the theaters anymore, so I don't want to even promote them. So for the movies that are coming out as movies, it's going to be till May that you finally still see, you know, Fast and Furious 9 mm-hmm. or Cruella from Disney, hopefully, and Peter Rabbit 2 and Venom and Minions and Top Gun and all these movies. Hopefully by the summer will all be back. But for the little theater is going to be slow. It looks like April, the middle of April, they'll start to release these films. Sony Classics has a nice one called Mafi, and Magnolia has Held, and IFC has a film, but they do VOD day and date. So you have Together, and a couple movies start being released again in April and then May. But this I've seen before. I feel like the horse with the proverbial carrot in front of me, that they've done that 2 months from now, films will be good, and I move ahead, and then it's 2 months from now, the film will be good. So we're 2 months from now, the films will be good.
All right. Well, I'm going to get Laura and Victor on the phone in just a second, but I just want to say to Derek and Brett, Derek, thanks for not judging me for watching Barb and Star. I don't know if that would have ended up at The Little, but man, did I need that. What's coming to The Little that you're excited about, Derek?
Well, we'd love to be open in time to have Nomadland here. I mean, it's the Frances McDormand film. It's opening in February in many theaters and also doing streaming. We'd love to have it in person here because it's probably going to be nominated for an Oscar.
Wonderful movie. It is. It's going to win, I think, Best Picture.
And then we're also Minari is a beautiful film. We'd love to have that in person here when we reopen. So there are some small films that are, like Jeff said, that are out there waiting. But we've also been told that the pushback for some of the larger releases 2 months from now, 2 months from now, 2 months from now. But I'm not going to judge you, Evan, because that film did look funny.
Oh, man.
What I thought was funny about it also in the small promotion of it, see it where you rent movies. That was the kind of the underlying marketing. I thought that was strange to see that.
Yeah.
See it where you rent movies. It's like sounds like an old Blockbuster tagline.
I know. It's a little different. That's a very pandemic thing. And I will also say, if anybody's actually taking my recommendations, take Adam's. So if you watch it and don't like it, blame Adam and not me. Because Adam and Matt, who are an official couple, did like it. That's a throwback to the movie. But my father would hate this movie. So depending on your taste, it may not be for you. My father, I would never recommend this movie for him. Brett, what are you excited about coming to Cinemopolis?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, like Derek said, there's some films I think now that we might be able to grab that are, you know, starting their theatrical release, such as it is right now, like Nomadland and Minari. One thing I think is important to remember is I do think places like Cinemopolis and The Little, thanks to Ellen for her great stories about going to the cinema theater and The Little, you know, I think we need to remember that's what makes small independent theaters better prepared, in my opinion. I'm cautiously optimistic about recovery from the pandemic. I think we are better prepared because we have developed those relationships with our patrons in a way that, while it's important that we have great product to show them, I think that's almost less important than the experience mm-hmm. that we provide them. And so, you know, I'm more excited about my patrons than about any individual movie because they're very much like family for our staff to see these folks that we would see sometimes more than once a weekend, and we haven't seen them in a year. So I think that is that experience almost supersedes the availability of great titles. Although there are certainly a lot of titles that I've seen at film festivals in the last 6 months that I'm eager to see. Mm-hmm. How they're released in theaters. I think, we've got a great opportunity to welcome our
our family back to the theater. And I think that's almost more important than the films.
Well said. Hey, Laura,
that's a great point.
Laura and Victor, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead.
Okay, I think there should be a consortium of RIT, Visual Studies Workshop, the George Eastman Museum, for the cinema theater to be a kind of a laboratory for students and young artists to develop films that really need to be shown in a theater that can, you know, take advantage of this wonderful community resource and the allegiance that the community has to this setting, and use it as a venue for things that don't get viewing in other ways. Mm. Also, the racial justice movement, you know, artists and visionaries and activists who are envisioning, you know, new images for a just society.
Yeah, and let me just jump in and say, since we're going to be out of time, that's a very interesting idea, Laura. I know some folks from the cinema have been listening, and who knows, because the community certainly wants to see that space used. And I think you bring up some interesting points. Adam Lubitow, what are we going to see next from you in City?
Funnily enough, I was actually thinking of writing a column about Barb and Star.
Yes!
Recommendations about other buddy comedies to go along with that.
Just because we need a little late pandemic junk food for the brain. Then we'll get back to the serious art house stuff. Hey, thanks. Well, we love your work in City News. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Evan.
Brett Bozard at Cinemopolis in Ithaca. Good luck to you. Thank you, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
Derek Reese at the Little Theater. We love what you're doing there. Hang in there, and we'll see you soon, Derek.
Thank you so much.
And Jeff Goldman, film buyer, many theaters booking. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great night.
You got it. More connections coming up.